Amen. Amen. And again, it's a continuation, really, what we were dealing with last week, talking about as believers, you know, about how we are cultivating. We are cultivating the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is really the spirit of Christ, which expressly reveals the will of God to us, but not just the will of God to us. It also reveals and continually testifies and bears witness with our spirit in fellowship, in agreement, right? That we are the children of God, according to Romans 8, and I forget which chapter, somewhere in the teens, like around 12, 13, 14. The spirit testifies to us that we are the spirit of Christ. That's the mind of God. That's the express will of God being articulated and being expressed, being witnessed to us, being even translated, and I think is an appropriate word, translated to us, because it's not, it needs to be made clear to us, the interpretation of the express will of God is important, because in our carnal mind, right, we can't understand it. And that's really what Paul was dealing with in verses six, really through the rest of the chapter. He was dealing with that because outside of the Spirit showing us, outside of the Spirit revealing the will of God and even who He is and who we are, right? We won't know, because these are things that we can't understand in ourselves. That's why he says, but God has revealed them in verse 10 unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. We can't begin to understand, let alone hear from God, right? Outside of the Spirit speaking the things of God, because God wants to reveal the deep things, or reveal his deep wisdom, or his hidden will, the will, right, or the wisdom of God that has been hidden from the world, from the foundations of the world. The will of God has been hidden from the world, or from the minds of the world, right? And he said it. He said, because had they known, right? We look at this starting in verse six in chapter two. He says, how be it we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, among those who are mature, among those who are continually growing in the likeness and continually being conformed in the likeness of Jesus Christ, yet not the wisdom of this world. And that referring back to the very things that he was talking in 1 through 5, not speaking to us in a worldly fashion. He's not speaking to us in via the world's wisdom, right? He says, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, because it's all for nothing, right? But he said, the wisdom that is the wisdom of this world, it's going to perish like everything else, right? Right? Heaven and earth going to pass away, but his word is going to last forever, right? The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord is what's going to last. That's the only thing that's going to last. Everything else is going to come to an end. Everything else is on the same trajectory as this world and this world system from the very beginning of time. This world, and Minister Tolbert has talked on this, this world is fading away. This world is passing away. This world has been on a trajectory of collapse since the very beginning, ushering in the kingdom of God, right? So he says, the world that come not, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained, what we were just talking about, when? Before the world unto our glory, the very plan of God, the salvation of man, the redemption of our souls, right? Even what in they talk about in Acts, the determinate counsel, right? The predetermined will of God is the salvation of man, right? Which he had foreordained even before the foundation of the world, to our glory. That's our fellowship with Christ. That's Christ's redemption of, that's Christ's redemption of man. And he says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord. They would not have signed their own death notice, right? The deliverance of man, right? Had the princes of this world, this the demonic horde, this the spirit of the Antichrist agenda, had they known, they thought they were doing something by crucifying God, by crucifying Christ. They thought they were putting an end to you know, the not just the ministry of Christ and the following of Christ, but what they were really doing was they were bringing about their own end, because they were fulfilling the very will of God that had been ordained even before the foundation of the world. And the, and like in our lesson we talked about last week, and this whole text continues to deal with, that's the foolishness, right? That's the very foolishness that Paul talks about, the foolishness, the wisdom of this world, the foolishness of the wisdom of this world, or even flipped on its head in their minds, the foolishness of the preaching of the cross. It was foolish to them, not recognizing that is in itself our glory, and it's God's glory. And that's the very thing. That's the very thing. And that's what Paul was dealing with. He's dealing with the message of the cross. So it's the message of the cross, and that's what he's talking about. So he says, you know, and our brethren, in verse one, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, right? That's the message of the cross. That's the message of the cross, Jesus Christ and him crucified. So if we ask the question, going back to our theme in this verse 16 at the very end, he says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. And that's what we're talking about. We have the mind of Christ, the cultivation of the mind of Christ. And that is simply our continual growing, right, in the likeness of Christ, our continually being conformed to the likeness of Christ, our continual growing in agreement with God, in agreement, in perfect alignment with the will and the word of God. That's the trajectory of the Christian, or of the child of God, to continually grow, right? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate that we be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, right? Romans 8:29. That's our purpose. That's where we're going. That's how we're continually cultivating the mind of Christ. It's through that trajectory and through our continual conforming, being conformed in the likeness of Christ. And how do we get there, right? We get there through what Paul is saying in the beginning of this chapter, when he says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Not through excellency of speech is what he's saying, or of wisdom, or the wisdom of the world, right? Declaring unto you the testimony of God, right? That's what he's talking about. And it's through, and he said in verse three, and I was with you in weakness and in fear. He's talking about in our receiving of the word of God, right? How critical, how important it is, right? That the man of God, right? Or the woman of God, or the teacher, or the preacher, or the bishop, or the Sunday school teacher, or whomever, right? He's talking about the position. He's talking about his, his very position, the position he was in, and what qualified him for preaching the gospel message is right here in this verse 3. That's the qualification. It's not schooling. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying anybody shouldn't go to school and learn. But I tell you what, Pastor Wright used to say all the time, man, before you go to school, right, you better already know something. In other words, you better already know Christ, because this is exactly what Paul is dealing with, right? Because it's not about knowledge or the world's wisdom, right? Or excellency of speech or how much you can acquire in your mind. It's about this verse 3. It's about our position. It's about a position of humility. It's about a position of being spiritually prostrate before God so that he can replace you and deal with you and break your heart. So when you open your mouth, right, it's not you who's speaking, it's him. And I tell people all the time, in our preaching, in our teaching, a true man of God or a woman of God has never had an original thought a day in his life or her life, because we ought not be speaking of ourselves, and we ought not be speaking out of our, listen, charisma don't matter. Intelligence don't matter. The articulate tongue does not matter. All that matters is a vessel being willing to be broken to the will of God so that God can have his way and speak through them. That's the qualification. And I think what Pastor Wright was talking on Sunday when he preached, and we say it all the time. He said it, I say it, we say it all the time. 80% of preparing to preach or to teach is not how much I'm in the lesson. It's about getting before God so I can be relieved and broken of myself. Because no matter how much information I acquire or memorize or try to learn in my preparation, if it's Marlon who's trying to handle it, then what you're going to get is me. But if I'm in position, this position that Paul is talking about, he said, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. That's a brokenness. That's a reverence for the word of God and a humility where my will has to be replaced by God's will so that he can speak, because he ought to be revealed through the teaching and he ought to be revealed through the preaching. That's why we don't get up here with all this form or fashion and try to, you heard Pastor Wright talking about and praise God and hallelujah and all that mess. That stuff don't matter. What matters is that the truth of the word be preached, that our hearts are pierced to a place that we can truly receive what God is trying to say to us, because our flesh can't get it. Our flesh can't comprehend what God is trying to say to us. That's why we have no business having church on the surface. We've got to be prepared and be in a position. That's why people, and we see it, man, I'm telling you, we see it when we're up in the pulpit and we're preaching. There's a point in the sermon, and it's always about the 30, 35 minute mark where you get up and you're preaching and everybody's with you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. At about that moment, at about 35 minutes is when the flesh kicks in and something subconsciously or subliminally says, this preacher has been up too long. And when is he going to be done? That's the flesh. And I'm here to let you know, if we're truly preaching the gospel, and I heard Charles Stanley say this, listen, the first 25 minutes of the sermon is really about dealing with the part of us that resists the word of God, our flesh. That first 25 minutes is, look, I got to be dealt with so that the message can then be ushered in, that we might truly be edified and receive from God. And the funny thing is about it, most people are done after the first 30 minutes. And I don't know who made up the rule and said that the preacher should only preach for 30 to 35 minutes. Do y'all know how long the Sermon on the Mount was? We have to develop a love for Christ, and we have to develop a love for the Word of God. We can't continually box the Word of God. And listen. I'm not up here trying to promote, y'all ought to sit and listen to us for an hour 15, an hour 30 minutes. No, what I'm saying is we ought to avail ourselves to listen to what God has to say for as long as he has to say it. Whether that's 25 minutes or whether that's an hour. And I'm telling you right now, sometimes Pastor Wright is preaching and whether he preached 45 minutes or an hour, and he was like, man, I was up, whatever. And listen, to me, it was like 20 minutes. Because we're locked in. And if you want to hear the word, I'm not talking about if you want a message or if you quote unquote want a word from the Lord. We love that. Oh, we're going to get a word from the Lord. No, if you want to meet God in the message, if you want him to reveal himself to you, if you truly want God to speak to you and speak to your heart, listen, then we must develop a palate for the word of God where it just don't matter. And that's the place we got to get to. What in the world do we think heaven is going to be like? We're going to be confronted. We're going to be confronted with Christ himself, who is the word. And only people who love Christ, I'm telling you right now, church people ain't going to heaven. People who love Christ and love and adore his word and his will, those are going to be the people in heaven. And we have to cultivate the mind of Christ right now, right here, while the word is plentiful, and develop and desire the word of God. We have to love the word of God. What did he tell us in Colossians chapter 3? Verses 1 through whatever. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things above where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. What did he say? He says, set your heart's affection on things above and not on things on the earth. He says, why? Then he tells us why. For ye are dead and your life is hid in Christ. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, in other words, as he's continually conforming us to his likeness, and we're continually being replaced, our life is continually being eclipsed by the life of Christ, not Christ over here somewhere, not Christ as an appendix on our side, the Christ that we call on only when we think we need him, but the Christ whose life has eclipsed our life. The Christ who is replacing us, when Christ who is our life shall appear, then we shall be glorified with him. We shall be beautified with him. Our life shall emanate and illuminate the very glory or the life of Christ. We shall be like him. Listen, we will be cultivating and we will have the mind of Christ. That's what Paul is talking about. But it starts with the preaching of the gospel. And with the receiving of the gospel. Because listen, this is what it's got to be. And that's why he says what he says. He says, but as it is written in verse 9, right? I have not seen, nor have ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of a man. In other words, neither has it been revealed or entered or revealed to the heart of a carnal man or woman. He says it's only by the spirit, because the flesh or the carnal man, that's what he's talking about. When he says the heart of a man, the man who's ruled by his carnality will not receive the things of God. That man can have church on the surface all day long. He can come into church. He can sit and listen to sermons. He can nod his head and agree with sermons, but he will never go back in his closet and be broken and be replaced by the word of God. He can be religious and he could talk about hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. He can be dressed up in his suit or her in their dress, and they can serve on an auxiliary and do all kinds of good things. But they'll never truly operate in the will of God. And we're going to talk about Matthew chapter 16, because that is the true example and emblematic of exactly what we're talking about here. That man has to love the word of God. He has to love the message of the cross. And that's what Paul was dealing with in the first chapter, right? Verses 17 and 18. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, not to articulate it through my own wisdom, or to take the world's principles and the world's schemes and all this other stuff and try to weave it in and out of the world, weave it in and throughout the word of God to try and entertain and get your attention and get you up out of your seats and get you excited and get you ignited. No, not at all. He says, but he said, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. We have no business perverting the word of God through what we think and how we feel and trying to take this from the world and take that from the world. It's like taking prime rib, the most beautifully cooked prime rib representing the word of God, the meat of God, and taking it and putting it and serving it to you instead of on a beautiful, you know, because we like to, what is that called when you take look garnish stuff and to make it look plate and beautifully plate our food, beautifully plate our food. That's the preaching of the gospel, to give it to you that way. But if I'm to take the world stuff and try to add it on to the preaching of the gospel and the word, it's like taking that prime rib steak and serving it to you on a garbage pail lid, because we're perverting the word of God. And that's why Paul said, I don't come to you with excellency of speech. I don't come to you trying to tickle you or try to tickle your ears. I don't come to you trying to dress this thing up. I'm coming to you with the truth, Jesus Christ and him crucified, because it's it's only through the preaching of the gospel. It's only by the true preaching of the gospel, the message of the cross, that we will ever be able to truly cultivate the mind of Christ. Because that's the only word that the Spirit of Christ is going to deal with. And we talked about it last week. What did he say in Ephesians chapter 3 about the Spirit of God? He says, and take the word of the Lord, which is what? Sword of the Spirit. And see, that's the thing. See, and I can get up and preach to you a jackleg preacher message, and your flesh get all kinds of excited and ignited, and you'll walk outside the church talking about, didn't we have church? Didn't we have a wonderful time? And you will never be edified, because your carnal mind wants that kind of message. But the Spirit of Christ, which is the only one who's qualified to handle the word of God, to receive the word of God, to agree with the word of God, so he can then translate it to our spirit that we might be edified. He's not going to receive no junk. He's going to take the word of God, the true sword of God, and then he's going to start working on us to build us up, to edify us. The first thing he's going to do, he's going to crucify your flesh. And then he's going to build us up in the spirit. But it's only when the gospel of Christ is preached. And that's why Paul said it. That's why he said it. I don't come to you with excellency of speech. I'm not coming to entertain or impress you. And if anybody could do it, Paul could do it. Paul had education. He knew it. He knew the law up and down. Paul was educated by Gamaliel, the greatest teacher that was. That's like going to Harvard or Princeton or any of these Ivy League schools. He had the best education. But what did he tell us? What did he tell us in Philippians chapter 2? He says, man, I count those things as dumb in comparison to the excellency of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why all I have to give you is Jesus Christ and him crucified. And see, to the carnal mind, that's foolishness. But to the Spirit of Christ in us, right? Man, it's everything. And that's why we have to cultivate the mind of Christ. But it's like a continuum. It's like a circle, right? Right? A system, right? We must receive that word, right? That word feeds us. And it deals with the part of us that wants to reject the word, that we might grow in the spirit. And that when we receive the word again, guess what? He's not starting from scratch, but he's building on top of what he's already given us and planted in us. Because the word of God, you know, because the character of God, we talk about his omniscience, the deep wisdom of God. The depths of his wisdom. That's why we can read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 minute, you know, today, January 12th, 2022. And then we can read it a month later, February 12th, 2022. And he speak to us and build upon it and reveal even something greater to us. Because that's the working of the word of God. And that's the working of the spirit and his continual conforming and building us up in the likeness or the agreement or our fellowship with Jesus Christ, that he could continue to build on what he's already established the first time. That's what he wants to do. And that's why Paul said what he said. And that's why he could say what he said at the end. But we have the mind of Christ. It's the continual building and the continual cultivating of the mind of Christ, or our agreement, or the life of Christ, or the spirit of Christ in us. That's what he's doing it, and it starts with the preaching of the gospel, and then it continues with our brokenness to the gospel. And that's the message. That's why he said Jesus Christ and him crucified. And what's funny is, right, we'll hear that and we'll say, well, I love the message of the cross. I love to hear the preaching of the cross. But my question is, do you love to hear the preaching of the cross in totality? Or do you just like the story of the cross? And what I mean by that, the story of the cross, is we love to hear about what Jesus did on the cross. But we don't want to hear about what we must do on the cross, right? And that's the thing. What Christ did on the cross is just the beginning. It continues. The crucifixion started with Christ and continues with our co-crucifixion. Or our continually being on the cross. The beautiful thing about us is he took the wrath of the cross. We're not dealing with the wrath of the cross. What we the cross that we have to take up is the replacement. It's the word of God coming in and dealing with the old principle in us, replacing the old principle with the new principle. That's how the mind of Christ is cultivated in the child of God. And that's what he's talking. And that's what he's talking about. That's our fellowship. And that's what he says when he says in verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man, because the spirit of Christ don't want none of that. But listen, but in demonstration of the spirit and of power. And that's what he's talking about when the spirit of Christ takes and receives the word of God and operates on us and deals with us. And that replacement process is taking place. He's replacing the old principle in us and replacing it with himself. That's the cultivating of the mind of the mind of Christ. But it's through the preaching of the cross. But see, and that's the thing. But our carnality, right? The carnal mind does not want that. And that's what prohibits a lot of time of us really, truly hearing from God and receiving what God is trying to say to us, because we're more in tune with the carnal man than we are the spiritual man. And that's why Paul says, but as it is written, eyes have not seen, meaning your fleshly eyes cannot see what God is trying to do and say. He says, ears have not heard, your fleshly ears, your carnal ears cannot hear what God is truly trying to say. He says, neither has it entered into the heart of man or the mind of man. You cannot truly discern. Your mind cannot truly discern what God is trying to say. The things which God has prepared for him that love him. And we're going to talk about that. But he says, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. There's something that God is trying to say to us beneath the surface, and we can't receive it in surface church. And you know what surface church is? Surface church is operating in what we see, in what we hear, in what we think, in how we feel. When we come to church in that position, we've had church on the surface. Does not matter how high the service was, how hard the preacher preached, how good the choir sung, how good the deacon prayed. All of those things don't mean nothing if we're operating here and here and in what we think and how we feel. Those things have to be dealt with. And those things are dealt with through the preaching of the gospel and our receiving with meekness the engrafted word of God, the engrafted gospel of Jesus Christ, that our hearts might be broken to what God is saying. If not, we won't understand. We'll be just like the ones that Paul was talking about in verses 6 or in verses 8, which none of the princes of this world knew. Or even before that, but we speak in verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. What God is trying to say will be a mystery to us. Even the hidden wisdom, because we're not in position to receive what God is truly saying to us, because we don't want to be broken to the word of God. We shut down when the preacher starts talking about being delivered and dying to self. We'll shut down. We won't want no, and that's the thing. Well, you say, I'm in church, I'm a member, I do this, I do that, I serve here. You just busy. You're just like Peter. Look, that's what I said. Matthew 16. Let's look at that. Matthew 16. Because I'm telling you right now, that's an antichrist spirit. And I'm going to tell you why. Listen, verse 21. From that time forth, began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter, listen, took him and began to, oh my Lord, rebuke him. He was rebuking Christ, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But listen, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Remember, we talked about, what did Paul say? He says, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? This is the same thing that Peter, that Christ is dealing with when he says, thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. You are looking at this through your physical eyes, listening through your physical ears, interpreting through your emotions, how you feel in your physical mind or your carnal mind or what you think, because the carnal mind will never receive the things of God. And that's why he tells them, listen, if you're going to follow me, Peter, if you're going to be my disciple, if you're going to operate in the will of God, he says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Listen, take up his cross. That's why Paul would say, I don't know anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified. He wasn't just talking about the story of the cross or what Christ did on the cross, but what we must now do, that we must be co-crucified with Christ. You don't believe me? Look at what he says further.
Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Listen, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. We got to die. We got to die. Anybody who will follow Jesus Christ must take up his cross. Deny themselves. How you feel. What you see. What you hear. How you think. And take and cultivate the mind of Christ. That's what we're talking about. It's the preaching of the gospel. And the and our brokenness to the gospel. That the Spirit of Christ is magnified in the receiving of the gospel and man and agreeing with God, our replacement, that the life of Christ is then manifested through us and will even begin to speak to somebody else and share with somebody else. That's what this thing is all about. And that's what he was dealing with Peter. He was dealing with an antichrist spirit. And that's the thing. Because the message of the cross is foolishness to the carnal mind. And listen, and what Christ was dealing with Peter, when he told him, when he said for the from that time forward, he began to show unto his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things and of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And so that was the message of that was the gospel. That was the message of the cross he was sharing with them. And what was Peter's reaction? Oh, no, Lord, that ain't gonna happen. Because that's the flesh's response to the word of God. Oh, no, that ain't gonna happen. We ain't gonna do it that way. It don't take all that. That's the flesh's response to the preaching of the gospel. And that's why we've got to be in position. Our heart's condition has been the one to be receptive to the preaching of the gospel, not just the story of the gospel or the story of the cross, but the true preaching of the cross that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ. And the life that I now live, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's our position, co-crucifixion, crucified with Christ, that he might live instead of us. And Peter rejected that message because he was in the flesh. And that's why I'm saying, listen, we've got to be careful as the church. Because one minute we can be there, and the next minute we can be somewhere else. Just like Peter. Didn't he say to Peter, who do you say that I am? What did Peter say? That art the Christ, Son of the living God. And what did Christ say? Christ said, that's it, Peter. He commended Peter. He said, what did he say? He says, because flesh and blood have not revealed it unto you. Because the flesh can never receive the true message of the gospel of Christ. He says, but it's the Spirit. But then listen, just a moment later, as Christ began to explain the gospel further to them, Peter could not receive it. And that's why I say we've got to be careful in the church, because we can be good on first Sunday and a hot mess on second Sunday. That's why we've got to continually. That's why our closet is so important, because that's where we cultivate the mind of Christ. That's where our agreement with God. Listen, agreement with God does not take place right now in this. You might agree with what I'm saying, but true agreement does not take place right now in the corporate setting. It takes place when I get alone with him in prayer, because prayer is my time of agreement with God. Prayer is not the time. Prayer is not about me giving him a laundry list of what I think I want and I need. Prayer is about me agreeing with God about what he says that I need. That's where my blessing comes from, because he wants to bless you more than you won't be blessed. And it's in my prayer and it's in my meditation where I build and I develop agreement with God. That's how we cultivate the mind of Christ. Because then the Spirit can take the word and deal with us, right? What did he say? The word of God is what? Hebrews chapter 4. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharp. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Rightly dividing asunder the soul and the spirit. Separating joint from marrow. Right? Discern and is a discern. He takes our carnal mind and he deals with it. That he might cultivate the mind of Christ in us. That he might replace us. And Peter was not in that place because the message of the cross at that particular time and moment in his flesh was foolishness to him. This Peter walked with Christ and Peter had great intentions. And that's where the devil trips and tricks us. He trips us up and he tricks us in our good intentions. And I'm here to tell you, it's not about our good intentions. Peter was well-intended. Why did he respond the way that he responded? He didn't want to see Christ go to the cross. And that's how the carnal mind works. The carnal mind has a natural, it naturally rebels against the cross. The carnal mind wants nothing to do with the cross. And that's why he said, far be it from thee, you ain't going to the cross. And it's that same spirit that exists today. That carnal spirit says, far be it from thee. Marlon, you ain't going to the cross. Pastor Wright might as well be quiet and stop preaching about this co-crucifixion thing because I ain't going to the cross. That's what the carnal mind says. But no, we must go through the cross. And that's why Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. I must go through the cross. And then he said to me, if you're going to follow me, you must go through the cross. And he's saying to every single one of us, if we're going to follow him and we're going to have the mind of Christ, we must go through the cross. We got to. We can't have church on the surface. We must go through the cross. And that's why the preacher said what he said. I don't come to you trying to impress you or entertain you. But I come to, all I know is Jesus Christ and him crucified, period, point blank. That's the message of the cross. And it's the only way we will receive him. That's why Paul says what he says. He says, but as it is written, eyes have not seen. You can't see it. I can't see it. Ears have not heard. I can't hear it. I don't care how much I go to church. I won't hear it through these ears. Neither has it entered into the heart of a man, a carnal man, the things which God had prepared, listen, for them that love him. Listen, only if you love him. And that's why we deal with it so much in Love Fellowship class and Foundations class, the love of Christ, because I'm telling you right now, if you're not in love with him, man, this message of the gospel, I'm telling you, no matter how hard you try to get it and receive it, and you will never receive the deep things of God. You will only ever have church on the surface because the prerequisite, the qualifications for truly, for freely receiving the deep things and what God is trying to say to get past the mystery, to get past the encrypted nature of the word of God, you must be in love with him. You know why? Because if you're not in love, you will not be willing to die to yourself. You won't go to the cross. You won't deny yourself. You won't be willing to give up your life like Christ said to Peter so that you can receive and have eternal life. You won't be willing to trade your worldly, earthly life for eternal life. You won't be able to do it because it takes the love of Christ to truly receive the will of God. What did he, that's why he told us in Romans 8:28, he says, for all things, God causes all things to work together for them that what? Love him and who are called according to his purpose, because he knew if you love him, you will accept your purpose. If you don't love him, you won't accept. That's covenant scripture. You won't receive your purpose. What is your purpose? He told us in the next verse. for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed, transformed, changed, crucified, replaced, eclipsed, overtaken, conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, all of us agreeing with God, having the mind of Christ by way of the fact that we've been replaced because we were willing to go to the cross. If you're not in love, you won't go there. And that's why he, in Matthew 17, 23, we quote it all the time, and many will say unto me on that day, we did the church thing. We were so religious. We preached in your name. He's exposing a false anointing. We preached in your name. We did all these things in your name, all these good works. We healed. We did all that stuff. False anointing. False anointing. Right? But then he will say to them, he said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I don't know you. I don't recognize you. Because we can have church on the surface. Listen, y'all, I can preach on the surface. I can sit down intellectually, cross, dot every I, cross every T, come to you, tell you all about the story, tie in some nice cliches and all this other good stuff, get you excited. We can do that. That's mm-hmm. not the calling to the gospel. We've got to be broken, right? We've got to know. And we've got to know the difference. And we have to seek the mind of Christ. And it's not about going on some wild goose chase search. Oh, I got to find myself. No. You know how you seek the mind of Christ? We get in the word and we receive with meekness the engrafted word, this message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. We must receive it with meekness. The engrafted word, which is able to save our soul. But we must. That's the prerequisite. We must be in love, because if you're not in love, you won't receive it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 14, right? We ain't even got to turn there. We should all know it by now, right? Right? For the love of Christ starts with the love. The love of Christ constrains us that we thus judge. In other words, our heart has determined. Our heart agrees and accepts as truth that we thus judge that if one died, then we're all dead. Listen, the love of Christ will compel you to the cross. It will compel you to do what Christ called Peter to do. Any man who will follow me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We can't get around the cross. We must go through the cross. Christ couldn't get around the cross. We can't get around the cross. We must go through the cross. That's how the mind of Christ is cultivated. It's the message of the gospel. It's the preaching of the gospel. It's the receiving with meekness. The gospel, it's the recognition. It's recognizing that there's a principle in me that does not want to receive the message of the cross. Because until I can come to grips with that struggle, God can't deal with me. But once I come to the knowledge and the understanding to know, listen, okay, that's why it doesn't feel good. But I know I must go through the cross. But see, just that intellectually won't help you. I must first fall in love. When I'm in love, then I will trust God to give of him the part of me that I've tried to close off for so long, so that he can get to that place in me that's been lying dormant so long, to deliver me so that now he can take that rightful place in me, replace me. And cultivate his mind, cultivate that agreement. The mind of God is our agreement. It's our heart's agreement with the will of God. Past what we see, past how we hear it, past how we think. And Lord God, help us, past how we feel. It ain't about how we feel. We are such feely people. It's all about how something made us feel. No. No, listen, y'all, it's not about what we see. It's not about what we think. It's not about what we hear. And it's not about how we feel. It's about what we know. And that know I'm talking about by faith. It's all about what we know by faith, because anything else will trip us up. We've got to be in agreement with what God says. We've got to cultivate the mind of Christ. And this is what Paul was laying out. Outside of us being delivered of a carnal mind, man, everything that God says to us will sound like foolishness. We'll accept it on the surface. But when it comes, when the time of true application comes, we won't apply it because our flesh is resisting. Our flesh is saying, no, man, it's foolishness. It don't take all that. I'm so glad that Christ, when it came to him humbling himself and going to the cross, I'm so glad that he did not say, God, it don't take all that. I ain't got to go to the cross. I ain't got to die for these jokers. Don't you know I'm perfect? God, you know, we won. I'm God. I ain't got to go to the cross. Them jokers still going to deny me and cut up. Let's just scrap the whole, let's scrap the whole plan and start all over again. Why don't we just do that? That's the Antichrist sentiment. I don't have to go to the cross. No, yes, we must go through the cross. And you show me the one who is not willing to go to the cross, and I'm going to show you a carnal Christian. And I'm going to show you somebody who's just having church on the surface. Show you who's someone who's not truly walking in the blessings of God. Joy. I'm telling you, we must go through the cross. That's all Paul knew. And I'm telling you right now, that's all the preachers at Community know. I can't tell you about nobody else. I can tell you about Charles Stanley. Tell you about a couple other people, but I'm telling you right now, the message of that's the message. And we as children of God, we have to learn to embrace it. Stop looking for somebody to entertain. Like, I'm not speaking to you all specifically. I'm speaking in generality. If it applies to you, stop looking for somebody to entertain you and excite and ignite you. And I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna say something else. It ain't gonna sound too good. Stop looking for us to edify you. That's not my job. That's not Pastor Rice or Minister Tober's job. That's the Spirit's job. And in order for him to truly, you must be willing to go through the cross, because that's the message that he's going to take and work with. And then he builds everything on top of that. Provision, prosperity, all those things, because then it's through his lens and not ours. And better yet, not the world's. But as he's willed it, And as he's made provision for it, we'll only receive that by way. Listen, it's co-crucifixion. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ. Who's living? He got to live. I ain't got no business living. I'm no good to my family, my wife, my children. I ain't no good in ministry. I'm no good. Outside of Christ living through me, we're no good to one another. Outside of Christ living through us. And that's why we can't go running to people rescue. Does not matter. We can have a spirit. We can have a spirit, a familiar spirit. I've been through the same thing you've been through. Without Christ at the helm, taking the wheel, controlling that thing, we're no good to anybody else. I'm not in position to minister to anybody in myself. Does not matter. No matter how much we got in common, it don't matter. Unless it's Christ, I'm no good to you. And you're no good to me. And the fellowship is for naught. But the whole purpose of the fellowship is that we might be in fellowship, agreement with God, like-minded. And that when we come together, we agree. In by way of the will and the word of God and the Spirit of Christ leading us, we agree to be able to minister to one another and build one another up. Outside of that, we just playing church. It's got to be him. And Christ's desire is to take our place. He took our place on the cross so that he could continue to take our place every day in life. But in order for him to take our place, we must do what he did. We got to go to the cross. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't go through the cross, then everything I've said for the last hour is foolishness. You go to the cross, it'll make some sense. We got to go to the cross. We must go through the cross. We must go not through the channel of religion, It's not your membership. It's not the fact that you're doing this and you're doing that. You serve. Man, Peter walked with Christ. He was doing the work of God, but he was still in his flesh. And Christ had to rebuke him and deal with him and let him know what it was about. Peter, you're no good to me lest you be willing to deny yourself, take up your cross. Then you can follow me. That's our qualification. That was Paul's qualification. That's why he said, man, I came to you in fear and in trembling. That's the position, because that's when Christ can do the most. He told him, he said, man, listen, when I'm weak, that's when his strength is made perfect, not in us, not in what we think. And that's why we say it all the time. Man, God has not called us to do the things that we can do. He's called us to do the things that he can do. That's the ministry of reconciliation. That's his work. He's using us, but he's living and operating and working through us to do that work. It's not us. It's not our talent. It's not our smarts and intellect, how well we speak or how we can do it. It has nothing to do with us. We're just a vessel being used. Man, we are his vessel to be used by him. That's what he wants to do. That's why our purpose is, to be conformed, so that he can live and work through us. So we have to cultivate the mind of Christ. We have to cultivate the mind, our heart's agreement with God. But it's only through us receiving the message of the gospel and being broken to the message of the gospel. And then he said he will reveal the deep things. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. He will reveal those things supernaturally to us, that we can operate in the will of God and do the things that he does, not the things that we do. Amen. That's it.
Amen. Amen. So let's look to the Lord. Gracious and eternal God, our Father, we thank you. Father God, we come humbly before you, Heavenly Father, just in awe of your deity and your majesty, O God, and your holiness. Heavenly Father, just the depths of your word, Father, that we can't even scratch the surface, Lord God, as to even to even begin to bring out, Heavenly Father, the depths of the wisdom and all that you want to reveal to us. But, oh God, you've said to us, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of a man the things that you have prepared for them that love you. But, God, it is by your Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, oh God, even the very deep things. And, God, we invite you in our closet to search our heart, oh God. Heavenly Father, and whatever you find that is not like you, oh God, we pray that by the taking of your sword, the very word of God, oh God, Lord God, that you will deal with it and replace it, regenerate and renew us, oh God, in the very likeness of Jesus Christ, oh God. Magnify yourself, glorify yourself, beautify us, oh God, even in the process, oh God. Have your way right now, oh God. This is our prayer, that we will continually grow in the knowledge of who you are, and Lord God, and who you've called us and predestinated us to be, oh God. Have your way. We pray right now. Father God, we ask that you will bless, Lord God, those families who are just going through, those bereaved families, Lord God, who are struggling even in the loss and grappling with and dealing with the loss of a loved one, oh God. Touch them, not only them, but those who have just lost people and who are just still struggling with it, oh God. Touch our hearts right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We pray that you would reveal yourself, oh God. Heavenly Father, that our sadness and our suffering would turn to joy. Heavenly Father, when we reflect on what you have done and who you are and the victory that you have given those who love you over the grave. Heavenly Father, we pray right now that you would just have your way. Encourage us, oh God. Encourage our hearts. Encourage our minds, oh God. Help us to know, Lord God, beyond what we see, hear, think, and how we feel, oh God. Help us to know what you have said, the very promises that you have made. Heavenly Father, your wonderful thoughts toward us, oh God, thoughts to prosper us, oh God, and bring us to an expected end, oh God. Heavenly Father, help us to see, oh God, you. Heavenly Father, even in the midst of the things that we go through, have your way, oh God. Heavenly Father, even though we didn't call and ask for prayer requests, we're so glad you're an omnipresent God. You know our hearts. You know what we stand in need of. You know our requests.
Heavenly Father, Lord God, give us, Lord God, help us to just offer those things up to you right now, that your will would be done in whatever the situation is, whatever the thing is, whether it be sickness, struggle, Lord God, depression, Heavenly Father, whatever it is, financial difficulties, Lord God, whatever people are going through right now, Heavenly Father, family hardship, whatever it is, contention, oh God, Heavenly Father, the spirit of jealousy, oh God, Heavenly Father, the spirit of coveting, oh God, whatever that thing is, Heavenly Father, whatever it is, help us to bring those things to the altar. Heavenly Father, the altar, Lord God, those things right before you in our closet. Heavenly Father, Lord God, that you would help us, that you would reveal yourself. Heavenly Father, Lord God, that you would, Lord God, that you would break our hearts to your will. Heavenly Father, that you would, that we would find agreement with you in what it is that you say about the matter and receive it, oh God. Heavenly Father, knowing, Lord God, that that is where our blessing is. Heavenly Father, that is your, that is where your glory is found. So, Lord God, we just pray, Lord God, that your word would just continue to speak to our hearts, even beyond this call. Heavenly Father, that will continue, Lord God, to minister to us. Heavenly Father, give us hearts to receive it. Heavenly Father, that we might cultivate the mind of Christ. Heavenly Father, that we might agree with you, that we might continue to grow in your will and in your likeness, that you might be glorified. We thank you, O God. We praise you, O God. Heavenly Father, we ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Our heart soul says, amen.